Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, I have a dear friend. Let me tell you, she saved me so many times where I felt that my energy needed to be shifted. I felt like things were maybe out there, and I just wasn't feeling right. Or sometimes I felt there was a lot of stress in the world, and maybe I was carrying too much. Let's talk about energy today. What is energy all about? My guest this evening is Sherry Hobson. She is a psychic counselor and an energy mover. Two profound words. We all hear these on social media these days. A lot of times people say, oh, I know all about that stuff. Seems a little strange to me, but I really don't know about it. Yet we are really engaging in energy moving every day. We just don't even realize it. And many people are now becoming so intuitive, they'll say, you know, I thought about the other day and it appeared. Or even still, you know, I think I'm going to be able to look at Reiki, acupuncture. I'm going to look at all these other healing modalities. Hey, they're all about energy. Isn't that something? We've been engaged in it. We didn't even know it. Sherry, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, Sherry, don't you think we sometimes don't even realize it? But we've probably been doing a lot of this a long time ago, and maybe now we're just putting a name on it, yes?
That's correct. That is absolutely correct. You know, I just spent a week up in the East Coast talking about energy and showing everybody how we're actually all empathic. And we're actually all psychic, and showing how the body actually interprets the energy and how we're just not aware of it.
You know, that's so interesting. When people say, but I don't know what energy is, and I will say to them, when you walk into a room when a baby is born, everybody feels open. They feel free. They come in engaging. They're smiling. So those parts of your body that are willing to receive, willing to give and love unconditionally are all full on open. That's an energy force. And we turn around, we look at people who are getting ready at end of life, and we say, we stand out in the hallways, let me know when it's time, and we stand there and we're full of fret and we're full of closed down. That's another energy cycle that we're in. So if we really look at it, we're in all kinds of energy cycles, and we just don't even know what they look like. But there's two great examples, yes?
That's exactly right. Exactly right. You know, there was a study done where a school teacher took a plant and had the kids yell at one and had them love the other one and gave it the exact same sun, the exact same light, the exact same water, right? Mm-hmm. And one plant ended up dying and feeling, you know, looking horrible, and the other plant ended up thriving. And that's because we're responding to the energy within the room. We're responding to the energy around us. Mm-hmm. And that's how we thrive and how we actually create our awareness and how we interpret energy within the body.
You know, it is so funny you just said that, because my mother at one time had gotten this peace plant from one of her real estate customers. And she put it on the back of the couch, and she was having a very difficult time in her life at then. And she was just on her own path, and, you know, I was on mine and just kind of let it be. And I noticed at the end of the week the plant was dying, and she was screaming and yelling all week and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know what to do with it. And I said, okay, give it to me. So I put it in the shower, and I closed the door, and I watered it two or three times in like 24 hours, took it back out, and it had perked back up because it was nourished, cared for, and it was in the shower with the door closed. So it couldn't hear anything. And it didn't sense anything. Put it back out in the living room. Here's your plant. It's all good. did it again the same second week. I mean, this process went on for like a month. Finally, I just said, you know, this plant knows exactly what's going on. And I just put it in my room and just kept it, and it was fine. But there was no way. It had become so stressed out, it just gave up. Mm-hmm. Don't you think a lot of times people get so stressed out because they feel like they're carrying those energy loads on their backpacks, and either they have back problems or issues with their head, and they just plain quit, right?
Well, it's not only that, but they get used to a low vibration. They get used to a low frequency within the room. And then they don't realize, because they've been feeling this for so long, how far off they actually are. So when you do an energy clearing, and all of a sudden somebody goes, oh, my gosh, I feel so much lighter.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't weigh anything. It's because you've taken that heavy energy off the body, and you haven't realized it because you've been in that state for such a long period of time. And that long period of time in that low state is what causes us to not have the positive thought processes, not have the positive health experiences, and it creates that lower survival rate versus the living aspect within us that we don't even realize that we create.
It's almost like you're living in a swamp. In other words, that heaviness, that dewiness, that muck, it kind of slows mm-hmm. down your physical body, it slows down your mental thoughts. And to be able to get out of that, it's almost like when you do your energy work with people, it's almost like you put the light on and you said, okay, stand up, I'm going to wash you all off, you know, mm-hmm. and then it's your choice. Do you continue to walk up on the shore or do you go back in the swamp? Because
well,
sometimes, don't you mm-hmm. think it takes a few kicking out of the swamp and a few showers for you to actually say, you know what, I feel squeaky clean, now I want to go on the shore. Do you think that sometimes that happens?
It does. It really, you need to change your belief system and your thought processes, right? Mm-hmm. Within, whenever we interpret energy, it comes in through the chakra and then it goes into the meridians and it goes into the meridian points that all are the, and the points, the chakra points and the meridian points are interpreters, and they interpret the energy for us and send it off to our nervous system, then the nervous system sends it off to the brain. And so when we actually are at a low vibration, low frequency for a long period of time, stuck in the same emotional pattern that we don't realize we have, it's so important to pull off the energy by changing the belief system. And so we have to change the way that we respond to our environment, change the way that we respond to our thoughts, our negative thoughts. And when we catch that, that changes what our chakras will allow in as far as the energy around us, right? Because everything's a mirror. We create the energy and then it's mirrored out in the universe and it comes back to us. And so when we're able to change that mirror, we're able to change what is allowed into the chakra. So even though we enter into a low frequency room or a low vibration room, we don't pick up the energy the same.
Right.
As a person that has been standing there the whole time without changing the beliefs, without changing the thoughts, without changing his reactions.
You know,
and
I think
so,
you see that a lot of times in healthcare when, like, nurses and doctors, there's times when they really carry on a lot of that weight. I mean, I've been in healthcare 5 decades. We carry a lot of that weight, and we come home and we take a shower and go to sleep, and we try to say some prayers and try to let it go and move on to the next day. But there is a lot of residual information there. And then that's a lot of times now we're seeing people are saying, you know, I really want to change. I know there's something more in the world in spiritual awakening, all this other stuff going on. And physicians are saying, you know what, I can't carry that weight anymore. I'm out. And they check out. They're not a physician anymore. Nurses turn around and say, you know, I need to go into a different line of work. We see a lot of people in healthcare now saying, I just can't do it anymore, because when patients come in, they really wanted to be helped and healed, but now patients are coming in and they want the full scope of everything, rescue them from everything wrong in their life, and the weight of that is really crumbling healthcare.
Well, yes and no. A lot of people that go into the healthcare industry, and I have such a handful of doctors and nurses that I actually work with, you know, hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time when people go into that industry, they're in a master soul group called the caregiver soul group. They're either a counselor, a caregiver, or a healer. And
right.
So when they naturally fit within that, they're one of those three soul groups, you know, out of the 12 master soul groups. And in that soul group, there's also a lesson within that soul group that within a caregiver is that their karmic condition within it is to learn to receive just as much as they give.
Right.
And most of the time, they're givers, and they end up attracting people who are takers, and then they get extremely exhausted and extremely tired, and then they finally come up and go, wait, what about me? I'm important, I'm significant as well. And that's more of a karmic pathway of learning that they're significant and they're important, and that's part of a soul's journey within that pathway. So all three of those soul groups all have that aspect, and most of every doctor or nurse will fit into one of those three soul groups. And so what you're seeing there is evolution of the soul to finally raise their hand and say, okay, I got my lesson. I'm important.
Yeah.
I'm significant. I need to receive here just as much as I give.
And that's a very important to understand. I think that now the collective is really taking on a lot of shifts, don't you think? In other words, souls right now are not what they were in the 50s and 60s, don't you think?
No, they're not. We had an evolutionary process back in the early 1900s that was absolutely amazing, that had to do with our chakra development. And this actually expanded master soul groups as well. There was a astrological event that happened in the late 1918, I'm not sure right off the bat right now, but there was an astrological aspect that hasn't happened in 2,000 years, followed by another one that hadn't happened in 300 years, followed by another one that hadn't happened in 500. And so there was an astrological event that actually created our chakras to be elongated. And through that, it changed the way that we interpreted the energy within the chakra. So after that point in the 1920s, we actually had a huge amount of plagues on the planet, huge amount. We had World War One, we had Titanic, we had mass exoduses all over the planet in the 1920s. And that mass exodus had to do with the chakras not being able to handle the difference within interpreting the emotional frequencies on the planet. But what it did was it developed our chakras to be more expansive in handling more energy, to be more expansive in handling more manifestation, that we're able to manifest much quicker these days as our development of our chakras grows deeper. And so through the evolution of our chakra system over the last 100 years, it has created an evolutionary aspect of spiritual growth and physical aspects to completely change within our body as well. So you notice at this point we have a lot more diseases on the planet than we ever did before.
Right.
But we have a lot more enlightenment on the planet than we ever had before. And so this is all evolutionary aspect of the chakras balancing the physical body.
But
are they to the physical body?
Are they raising up all of the? I almost thought of this the other day. I know that there's a rise in TB at this current time, and I thought about it, and immediately it came to my thought. It says it's rising up so we can finally clear it. In other words, TB was so profound in the early 1900s, and then people were put into sanitariums, and they were able to squelch it with drugs, and then since then it's always a drug thing that you would get for that. So it kind of like held it into our imprint. But now I see it rising up again, and I'm thinking, is it rising up so we can clear?
Exactly. It's rising up so that we can actually advance past it and become stronger, right? The same way that AIDS is basically, you know, will be in the background in 15 or 20 years, we shall no longer see any cases of AIDS, right?
That's been squelched down by drugs. So would that not also arise again?
No.
No?
No, because in every disease has an emotional aspect behind it and an emotional frequency behind it.
Oh.
When AIDS originally started decades ago, it was the energy of compassion.
Right, but it was also wasn't it also the energy of being able to fearing the rise in homosexuality at that time? And then now we're at the crest of...
No, it was for human beings to learn more compassion.
Oh,
and the vibration and frequency of it was all compassion. As it grew, as it expanded, it no longer became compassion. It more became of learning to accept.
Mm-hmm.
It grew from compassion to acceptance. And then finally it grew to breaking codependencies and codependencies.
Oh, yeah, because I noticed it, you know, when, I used to be a dental hygienist in the early 70s through 80s, and we wore no protection, nothing, regular street clothes all the time, and I was even pregnant at the time, and I worked with on a lot of AIDS patients. There was no sterilization, there was nothing. If you ever believe that that could still have, I mean, our professions have changed so profoundly in just that short time, but I remember many times, and one day the state health board called me up and said, your patient just came in and they said they're full-blown AIDS and we need to test you. And at that time, there was no testing because this was in 1979. And that was before the New York article and everything came out.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I don't have any tests to do. She said, but let me just give this a try. And, you know, and I went down and at her desk in the top of the building in downtown New Orleans, she just did a blood test, and she said, I don't see anything, so I don't need to worry about it. It was like, so I just carried on, and I never had that fear, and I think sometimes when you have such a great fear over things, isn't fear a high indicator of holding things back or blocking channels and not allowing things to flow so that eventually something will come up?
Well, fear is an indicator of DNA that has not been matured yet, of a DNA strand that's not matured, and so there's still things that soul is still learning. And so when you look at spiritual DNA versus physical DNA, the difference between the two is that spiritual DNA holds all the memory of all of our assets of what we've learned and what we've experienced, right?
Okay.
And if we've experienced something where there's a shortage of DNA that has the knowledge and wisdom of acceptance or security or love or respect, and it has that lack of that, we will now hold that into a DNA pattern that's fragmented and doesn't connect properly. And so we're learning, and as we learn respect or we learn acceptance or we learn approval, that DNA changes and now becomes a complete strand of DNA.
What's the big rush now on people? Because we always believe that things show up in the, you know, what people are engaging in at the time. And right now, everybody's clamoring for DNA testing. They even want to, they always take your drugs and be able to pinpoint it. We're going to go to this gene sequence, and this is how it's going to cure that disease. Why is that all coming up right now?
I think it's all coming up for a number of reasons. One is, with the expansion of our science, we know that we can target something direct, right, and get down to that level. So, you know, it's common sense that's just coming up as far as our genetic research has deepened, as far as, you know, this chromosome is causing this and this DNA pattern is causing that, right, which is very, very important. But I also think it's coming up because we are moving through the emotional aspects much, much quicker than we have in the last two or three centuries, right? So everything emotionally is being amplified right now.
Okay.
And I know it will be through 2024. In 2024, we have another shift coming. So everything is being amplified to get as much completed before this next shift within
right.
the chakra systems.
You know,
and the next shift that we go
that,
through in 2024 is almost the same one that we went through almost 100 years ago.
Wow. You know, I also notice a lot of chatter, you know, on social media about the light body and the physical body, you know, and it was so funny because probably about, a few years ago, I just got in the habit of always brushing my hair, which is long, outside in the sunlight every day. And it would only be like 30 seconds or a minute, whatever it was. But, and I would always notice that my hair would seem to be different colors. It seems like, oh, it's really dark brown today. I go out in the sun and I'd say, oh, my gosh, it looked like I just had highlights on my whole head, you know. And I think the idea that your hair is your DNA, I mean, that's what they test for DNA for many times.
Right.
And I think it was just so cool, you know, to be able to say that. And if you look at history now, how many times on social media do you say that they're talking about hair loss?
Yeah.
And I said,
well,
myself,
hair loss is being caused by our toxicity and our lack of hormones.
What?
And our toxicity and lack of hormones. You know,
right, but
have,
I also thought it was a shifting of the DNA. I said, it's
no.
Okay, it's no big deal, no?
Mm-mm. No, it's a sign of toxicity. It's a sign of our hormones failing, you know, from having too many toxins in the body.
Uh-huh.
And so that's a result of several different things there. That's not really a shifting within the DNA. It's just shifting and breaking down in the DNA, which is not a good thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, you know, it's getting back to that hair color thing, we had an amazing thing happen last week in our event. We spent 2 days clearing energy, and we were using dowsing rods and a few other things to, you know, see how the energy was closing and opening as you were speaking, you know, and
right.
people saying their name and showing the dowsing rods closed because they were, you know, had attachments to their name, and versus saying, you know, their attributes where the dowsing rods would fly open, right? And we were going through the whole entire weekend, and one of my clients that was there went and saw her boyfriend that night, and he goes, did you dye your hair? Because it looks so much blonder this evening than it did this morning.
Right. Yeah,
right?
Isn't it?
And it was
yeah.
only because her energy had loosened up so much, and we had gotten everything to such a high frequency
right.
within the body. We were using some tools, testing the frequency levels, getting ourselves up as high as we possibly could, right? That he
right.
actually portrayed her as having lighter
right.
hair because
yeah.
her energy was so much lighter.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
It's
amazing
how
that all works.
Yeah, and you know, you can notice it if you, me being in healthcare for so long, I had noticed on my right hand, you know, I said, one day, I think it was last week, I said, my gosh, look at this joint. It is like crazy swollen. It's huge. And it was all red and everything. And I said, oh my gosh, I must just have arthritis there, whatever. And then I finally said, don't give it a label, just watch it. So I watched it, and for about 24 hours, the joint really looked like the bone was like double in size.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's not true, but it looked to me and my perception. And since then, I just kind of let it pass. And I look back, and I just, you know, it looks the same as the other side. I don't even notice any difference. And I think sometimes we try to over-medicate things. We try to fix things. Whereas others might have said, you know, doc, that was terrible. Let me show you. I took a picture of it on my phone. You need to fix it. And mine was, I was just in awareness and let it go through. So I think there's definitely some different ways that we're looking at things these days, yes?
Yes, very much differently in the way that we're looking at handling things and responding to things. And sometimes I do think that, you know, people have an overreaction. You know, right now we're sitting in the United States where everybody's it's highly, highly toxic, you know, in the United States right now because of our political environment, our emotional environment. Mm-hmm. Everybody reacts very quickly to everything and has a tendency to overreact the second something's wrong, right?
Yeah.
What that has done is created us to be in a defensive mode. And when we're in a defensive mode, we ignite our immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And so now our immune systems are way out of whack, and most people's immune systems are overrun, and we're getting autoimmune system diseases. You know,
right.
In the next couple of years, you're going to see some outrageous cancer records being set on how many people have
right.
cancer, all from the last 2 or 3 years. And it'll be manifesting itself in that way. And it's just the way that we respond to things and the way that we react has become
yeah.
so heightened.
You know, it's interesting. I just got an email this morning where this person, he's very much up there in the echelon of being able to bring healthy foods to people to say, you know, these are superfoods. Try these. I got these from Peru. I got these from there, whatever. And he sells a lot of these things on his website. And I know there was a lot of attack over the past 2 or 3 years. And they sent an email today and saying that he will be off line for several months to take care of his autoimmune disease. So it was interesting that you just said that, because you can feel that attack going on within a lot of the healthcare professions, and a lot of them are finding that this is a complication for them. When I think of autoimmune disease, it's almost like a fight against self. However, if we're on this spiritually heightened journey, are we not fighting against the self that we thought we were? Okay?
I think with the autoimmune,
it's
an aspect of defensiveness. And
uh-huh.
so when you get into 85% of people spend their day in a defensive mode.
Right.
85%. And so that 85% is defending who we desire to be and who
mm-hmm.
we want to be.
Right.
You know, and it comes out in issues like, I'm not being heard. I'm
not
being respected.
What's who they believe they are, right?
Right. I'm not being respected. I'm not being heard. I'm not being, I have no power, right?
Yeah.
It comes out in all these different emotional aspects of defensiveness.
Right.
And that defensiveness is just a representation of fighting against our own self, fighting against
yeah.
our own belief system. Because
mm-hmm.
none of it's truth, but we have told that story that it is, and it's all mainly storytelling.
I think when we were switching up and we were going through our spiritual path, a lot of us, or rather myself, I recall about losing identity. There was a period of time there for like 3-4 years, maybe. It was like I couldn't. If somebody said something to me, I could barely put two words together. It was almost like, I don't know. Who are you? I don't know. It's like, you know, because it was really shedding a lot of what I was, you know, or what I thought I was, or how I was projecting, or whatever that might be. And I didn't even want to put labels on. I just said, you know what, I'm just dumping all this, whatever it is, to come out of it. And I think sometimes when people spend their life saying, I'm so fit, I'm this, I'm going to be held out as a guru, as the leader, and then all of a sudden it says, okay, so you accomplished that, you think you are that, now how about being something else? And then your spiritual path shifts. So that's sometimes when you end up hitting these walls of disease and stuff, to be able to bring you to a different space, don't you think?
Right, exactly. When we lay down and we decide, wait a minute, I'm the creator of this universe. I'm the creator of my emotions. I'm the creator of my outcomes. I'm the creator of everything. I no longer have to prove it to the universe that I'm
yeah.
successful. I no longer have to prove to the universe that I'm intelligent. No longer have to prove to the universe that I'm respected.
Mm-hmm.
When we lay down the sword and we stop fighting it
yeah.
and we decide, I no longer have to prove this. I
yeah.
am this.
Yeah.
Then we come into a sense of peace within the body. And you'll see immediately how the immune system and how the allergies and all the food allergies, toxicity, all that kind of stuff, like loosens up within the body.
Mm-hmm.
Almost
but
immediately.
But also, too, don't you think that's also an opportunity and another bridge point where people could take that the other way and say that's now my ego?
Now, I think ego has gotten a very bad rap.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that ego is very necessary for our survival. And I think that ego has also created a lot of success for a lot of people. And that when our ego becomes out of balance is when we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But that a natural sense of ego is something that I don't think that we can do away with, because I think it, you know, there's an aspect of the ego that we actually do need.
Do you know what's funny? When you were just talking, I just had this vision of ego as E-G-O, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it said equal quality organisms. And it was like, that's all we are. And I mean, and you're right. Out of balance could think that you're better than something or someone else. But if you really took it as equal quality organisms, then that's all we are. I mean, like almost like you could stand still and you could almost feel like your body just letting things go, you know?
Right, exactly. You know, that, you know, there's, the ego serves a purpose for pushing us into levels of disharmony for us to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And without that learning, we don't grow, we don't expand, we don't grow, right? And so without the ego, there's no push or pull for us to go forward or backwards, right?
Right.
And so it serves a purpose. It's there and it's healthy to have. When it's out of balance and we're not learning from it, that's when it's destructive.
Right, because I think it's almost like I'm seeing this reel playing when you're talking. And you could almost say, if I look at homelessness and I end up being in that space, going back to my equal quality organism thing, it's so funny, I keep thinking of that. But anyway, if you look at that, you say, okay, what I'm learning here is compassion, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then equating or whatever. Or then you may go to the next thing and you'll learn, that guy's really fit. Well, maybe I would like to be fit for that. And then you learn from that. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's taking pieces of everything to bring it together, more or less, you know, that we all have these attributes, you know. If I'm a billionaire today, I can be homeless tomorrow, I can be living in the gutter next week, and I could have no family, but I could have 1,000,000,000 people underneath me. So in other words, ego is really about equating us, that we all are the same, that all of those other things are just the petals on the flower. But that middle piece is what keeps us going, yes?
Right, exactly, exactly.
Yeah,
I kind of don't have a belief system that you can be a billionaire one day and homeless the next, but I don't have that belief system because I don't think that is how, you know, it doesn't run that direction, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
Very few people
but I
have
think
that karmic pattern or has that
right.
have that karmic ability to do that.
Right.
But, you know, everything's a mirror within what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody who has gone through that pathway had some huge karmic debt from a past life to learn from, right?
Right.
But I do think that it all serves a purpose within it and that we shouldn't negate that purpose.
That's the most important thing, I think, Sherry, is that a lot of times people want to diss everything that's happened to them, or they don't want to give it the validity or the story that is necessary. They say, I went through it, I no longer need to talk about it. I say, well, you're able to talk about the story in reflection without all the emotion of it, but you have an awareness to share that going forward. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes
right.
people don't even want to be there. They're like, oh, but I know there's times like I've said my story or something and someone would say to me, this one person said, oh, I'm so sorry for your struggle. I said, I really don't understand what you're saying about struggle. So apparently they must have something that story turned inside of them where they felt they were struggling against holding something back. But it really wasn't for me whatsoever. I never noticed the struggle ever. You know,
right.
I just thought of them as experiences. But I think you can't reflect it as that until you go through sometimes. Do you think?
That is right. That is right. You know, the everybody will walk into a room and experience something different, right? You'll have 10
mm-hmm.
people walking into a room, watching the same exact event unfold, and you'll get 10 different stories.
Mm-hmm.
Those 10 different stories are based on their emotional aspects of what they need from the universe and how they interpret
yeah.
what they need from the universe.
Yeah. I always say it's 10 people going into Walmart to go get something to eat. What are they going to come out with? I go in and come out with nothing. Some other people go in and they come out with all this stuff. You know, it's what you need from the universe. What do you need to nourish you? What you need to bring forth to take care of you and to be able to own that, right?
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
Well, Sherry, can you share with us how you move energy? Because I'll tell you, a lot of times people say, well, okay, I kind of get it, I kind of hear, but then what the heck do I do next?
Okay, so when I work with my clients, I look at where the emotional aspect is that is holding them back, either creating their disease or creating the emotional aspect of what they're going through in their life right now. So we look at where that actually started, where that's at in the body, how that's holding in the body, how they're actually creating the energy to happen in their lifetime, and why they're actually creating the energy to happen in their lifetime. I have the ability to clear energy within a body, and within my website I have some before and after pictures of thermographic imaging of people that were chronically ill and taking their past lives and looking at their past lives versus their current lives, looking to where the energy start, clearing that portal, that vortex, that fragment that's within their meridians or chakra systems that are creating that. Then once you clear it, to look at why the soul did it, why the soul wanted to go through that experience, what the soul was learning, reevaluating it into a different meaning than what they... out of victimhood into the student aspect. So taking it out of the victim and turning it into this is what you were learning, this is why you're learning it, this is what it was creating for you to move forward in, and then taking that belief system and changing it in their mind, they are now creating a different energy and moving forward and moving away from what was keeping them in pain, in discomfort, or frustration.
Do you think that pain is essential at some point in life?
I do think that pain is essential because everybody has a gutter that makes them say, okay, enough is enough, I'm going to change.
Mm-hmm.
When you get out of the victimhood and you understand that you've created everything, the gutters are not as deep. It's
right,
like all of a sudden
right.
Something happens and you're like, oh, I did this, I created it. And I did this for a reason. What was my reason? Oh, got it. I need to learn to do this. Then you're out of the gutter immediately. The pain is not that dramatic, and you're moving forward a lot faster. So the key to understanding your own power, the key to understanding your own outcomes is the fact that you did create them for a reason, for the universe to let you know that you're off track.
Right.
How far off track you decide to go is up to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are the creator of that gutter just as much as you are the creator of the outcome, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you decide that, oh, I did this right away, and you jump off of the track and you jump back on your road again, you're like, oh, that didn't hurt much at all. But then you decide to stay there for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months, you're in a lot of pain.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. But also, too, in that same spot that you just said, maybe it's you're there for one, two, or three reasons, or maybe you're there to be able to something else in the universe to be able to click into place. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, sometimes we tend to rush things and say, let's use grief because everybody knows that. So you're supposed to grieve and it'll be done in 2 and 3 months and you'll be done in 6 months and you'll be totally done in a year. But yet someone might be in grief for 20 years, someone might be in grief for 20 minutes. In other words, that it may have waited for a certain point where you had had enough grief, but then it may be there was someone else that was going to come into your life. So you were staying there at that point so that other piece can click in. Or maybe it was that you would never have another opportunity to move. Or maybe something else would shift. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, we can't always just say it's going to be a click on, click off. It's really about an enmeshing kind of idea in the universe, isn't that?
It is click on and off. And you can make things mm-hmm. happen in a blink of an eye because you have mm-hmm. the power to do so. Mm. If you're the scenario that you just described
mm-hmm.
is more the less of we don't have power over everything in our universe. We have to wait for this mm-hmm. or we have to wait for that.
As an outside force.
Hmm. I'm sorry?
Because those things would then be outside forces we're waiting for, right? Instead
Correct.
Of inner force.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
You can shift everything around in a heartbeat, in a matter mm-hmm. of minutes if you desire to, right? We had, for years, I had a mastermind group, and we played this game. It was all women that were entrepreneurs, and we played this one game that was for manifestation. We had slips of paper and a hat, and we'd pull it out, and the first one to manifest on that slip of paper would win, and win the kitty. We put money into a kitty. And mm-hmm. through that game, we were able to manifest things happening within 24 hours. When we got really, really good at it, we increased it and put in larger items, like business transaction, land deals, vehicle deals.
Mm-hmm.
We all got to the point where we could manifest them within a week, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't have to wait for forces to come together. We didn't have to wait for people to come together,
mm-hmm.
right? It was through our thoughts and what we were able to do, you know, to create mm-hmm. that. And
how does that correlate or contrast to law of attraction idea?
Well, the law of attraction is what you focus on is what you're going to create. That's the law of attraction. Sometimes we have subconscious thought processes that are fears that are much greater than our desires, and we end up still with our fears winning out rather than our desires and what we're creating. So in that game that we played, if somebody couldn't manifest something, we had to write a paper about what your fear was that was keeping you from manifesting what you desired. And so the law of attraction is just basically a state, is what you focus on is what you're going to create. Sometimes we're focused on so much of our fears, we just don't realize it. And we're creating our lack rather than our abundance.
Would a law of attraction sometimes say, I want chocolate cake with a cherry on top? And would manifesting say, I'd like to have something for dessert? Could that be the difference?
No, the difference is I want to be successful and I want to manifest success, and the fear is the fear of failure. And the fear of failure would win out because it's stronger than the fear of success, than the desire of success.
Right, but if you go back to what you just said, the success thing, would law of attraction be, I want to be successful and make this amount of money? In other words, you're qualifying and quantifying so that
yes.
it shows up and appears.
That would be your
as
desires.
Correct, yeah.
Right. But your desires, the law of attraction is nothing more than what you focus on is what you're going to get.
Right.
Sometimes the focus is still on our fears rather than our desires.
Right. But also, too, isn't manifesting also about allowing for it to create in the best shape and form?
It is and it's not. I mean, you can't say, I want David to bring me flowers today.
Right.
You
That's
have to
saying,
say,
yeah.
I would like flowers delivered today.
Right, right.
And the universe would take that energy of the one that could deliver the flowers to you. You can't assign it to a specific person.
Aren't you like asking for a process versus saying how it has to be delivered?
Correct.
Like
you're asking
you said
for
I wanted
outcome.
To be
you're asking for an outcome, but you can't ask an outcome of I want David to love me and send me flowers today.
Right. Like if you said you wanted to have flowers delivered to you today, it also could be that you go outside and you're walking down a path and you see flowers where you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So they could be delivered to you. In other words, it doesn't have to come by FTD. It doesn't need to come
right.
by a vase. It could be showing
exactly.
in the trees. Right. It should be could show on your path. Or you might open up a book and there's some flowers on the page. You know,
correct.
Or someone could send you a text with it. So it's, yeah. Kind of
exactly.
cool. You know, I think a lot of times people put so many restrictions on life and they say, this is how I want it to show up. And they get so annoyed and angry that they kind of give up and they just kind of want to follow along the path. So I think your work is really about how can we move some of the energies, maybe see how we're participating or engaging and dancing with those that don't help us, and also be able to say, well, next time I'm going to put on the other dress then. Heck with that one. If that one's making me not so good, it can go out, you know, and choose a different dress, choose a different shoe, you know. Try to be able to dance in a different kind of paradigm, yes?
Right, exactly. You know, it was my work. I really, really focus in on where do people want to move forward? How do we get them to move forward? What's holding them back? And re-looking at, you know, what they're creating and how they're actually creating it.
Yeah.
What are the energies behind it, where they're coming from, and why?
And it could be from a million different things. And what about conscious and unconscious? Can we share about that in the last few minutes?
Sure. You know, within the conscious mind is things that we're aware of and things that we see. The subconscious mind, and you know, is from, believe it or not, a lot of past life memories. We have in our subconscious mind a lot of past life fears, you know, that we've dealt with, a lot of the habits that we picked up from our parents that we don't realize that we picked up, right, and thought processes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of things that create our day-to-day environment without us even thinking about it. Same thing as breathing. We don't think about breathing, right? We go throughout most of our day reacting and responding without thinking, and that's our subconscious mind. And that's the part that I dwell in the most, is to look and find out what's going on behind the curtain, not just what's going on in front of the curtain. So
I think it's kind of it's a very different way of living your life, but it's also engaging in energy work to be able to bring you ease. I think we have so much inner conflict that you just got to find some relief somehow. And I think your work is a great first step to be able to say, you know, everything isn't working. I want my mind to just have peace for 5 minutes. Can you do that? And definitely your work does that. Yes, Sherry?
Yes, it does. Yep. You know, people, they call it the tranquility hour. come in for some work and look at, you know, where they're at and what they're going through and stuff, and just releasing all of it and seeing it from a self-acceptance and a self-approval and self-love aspect that just really changes the way that they're functioning, you know, in their day-to-day day life.
Yeah, it's sometimes you just gotta lay your backpack down and just sit down and rest, you know, I think. Well, Sherry, it's such a great time talking with you today. Could you share
with the
listeners how to find out more information about you? That would be wonderful.
Sure. My website is sherryhopson.com, sherryhopson.com. My office line is 760-521-2027. They can reach me either way. I do have a lot of events going on for 2019. So if you catch up on the website towards the end of the year, you'll start to see those events unfold and be added to the calendar.
Well, absolutely. Sherry, you know, I think it's great. You've helped me so many times, and I always share with others just to be able to lighten their load. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I so appreciate it. Love always talking about the energy work.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about Sherry Hobson, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page and go directly to her website, or else give her a call. And it really is about being able to say, I'm willing to take another step. I'm willing to explore more in the world around me. I'm willing to say, you know what, this backpack is getting so damn heavy, I got to get rid of it somehow. And I'm going to keep trying and keep looking and keep searching until I find something that will start helping me unload. Give it a try. It's worth the adventure. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.